So excited about concluding this series today and just what it has brought to our church. And before we do anything else, though, I just want to give a praise and an applause to our God. It's just been an amazing 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I have, as a pastor, I just got to tell you, I have never sensed a more spirit of unity in our church. And I don't know what that, you realize what that does for me. And I hope it does the same thing for you. And it excites me to know that great things are in store, because when God's people come together in a spirit of unity, that's where he shows up. And great things, amazing things happen. And so I've got great expectation for 2016 as we just embark and believe for what God's about to do and is already doing in the house. So thankful. Come on, let's give an applause to Jesus. Amen. Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. And all praise, all credit, all glory goes to him. And so just want to also say that we are gone nationwide today. And that is that my father and mother are unable to be in church this morning physically. So they're in church with us today via technology, and are with us. So just want to welcome them as well into our service today. I said, well, we'll just live stream you into our church. So anyway, just an honor to have my folks checking in today. Speaking of checking in, someone said to me that we need to make sure as we come to service, we ought to check in. You know what check in means? Y'all got those devices, you know how to check in and say I'm at Cross Point and like our status and all that kind of stuff, because here's what it does. That's actually an extension of it's a way of letting people know what's happening, where you are, promoting your church, encouraging others, let them know what is happening here. And so if y'all want to just bring out, get us your devices and check in right now, that'd be all right. That'd be all right. So we got somebody in the house, he likes to check in every time he goes by Dunkin' Donuts. So I figured, you know, so I don't know who that is. But anyway, no, but check in, check out, and just, no, don't check out, just check in. Anyway, so let's dive right into this final installment of Free Indeed. And we're going to take it up right off the bat with John chapter 8, and you've got message notes there in your worship guide you can refer to, and we'll also throw these verses up here on the screen for you. John chapter 8. Jesus says this to the Jews who had believed him. Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. So, first of all, he is speaking to believers. We would say today in our terminology, he's speaking to some Christians, all right? And so he says to them that believe, you hold to my teachings. If you hold to my teachings, then you are my disciples. Then he has this word, this then word. And so he says, all right, now that you've accepted me, you believe on me, you belong to me, then you will know truth. So there begins this process after we become Christians that we begin to learn truth. And that is a process. It's not just a one-day event. That is a lifelong process as we learn truth. And as we do that, as we're coming to church, as we're learning, as we're going to small groups, as we're reading a Bible daily, as we're in prayer daily, as we're growing, as we're learning, listen to what he says. He says, and the truth will set you free. And then those believers that were there, they were like, well, wait a minute. We belong to Abraham. We're his descendants. What do you mean will set us free? We're not slaves to anyone. To which Jesus responded to their question of how can they be set free. He replied, very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. So those that thought, well, he's not talking to me, he then pulled everybody back into the conversation, and he says that everyone that sins is a slave to sin. So we're saying, okay, yeah, I've got an issue there. I've got a problem here. There's areas in my life here that need to be worked out. And so Jesus is saying, but now a slave has no permanent place in the family. So you're not reaping the full benefits of this family if you're still a slave, but a son belongs to it forever. And then he goes on to say, so if the Son sets you free, you'll be, everybody say it, free indeed. And so that's the title of this series that we're going through as we begin this 2016 year, and believing that we're not going to have these resolutions or these things or these issues in our life show up again next year, but we're not just going to be free and they come back, but we're going to be free indeed. So that word "then" in that scripture is so very important, because it's not the, you know, becoming a Christian is not the end. It's not, that's not where it ends. That's actually where it begins. It's not the end of the journey, but it's actually the beginning of the journey. And here's the fact of the matter, and that is that we really can't be free indeed until we know that indeed we can be in bondage. And the question is, can we truly be free indeed? And the resounding answer to that is yes. Yes, you can be free indeed. And in part one of this series, we talked about there are two parts of us, of the flesh part and the spiritual part. There's the natural part. There's a supernatural part of us. And we delved into that, laying our foundation of how this thing works. And then week two, we talked about the weapon that the enemy has, which is lies. He's a liar. That's his job description. That's who he is. And what do we do about that, and how we're to replace truth with lie. I encourage you to go online and really listen to that one. Powerful message from God's word regarding that we've oftentimes bought into the lie, and we need to accept the truth, right, and reject the lie of the enemy. So we expose the lies of the enemy in week two. Two weeks ago, we had a snow day there, but in part three, we talked about how that what the enemy wants to do, he wants to lay around and wait for you just to crack the door, just to open the door, to allow him access into your life. And we talked about three areas of how he comes into our life to try to attack us, and we expose that. Today, we're going to look at not just how to be free, but how to maintain that. How do we stay free? How do we stay free? So that we're not saying, okay, here we go again, same thing, same problem, here it is, back on me again. How do we stay free? So let me just delve right into Luke chapter 11, and I believe this is going to be a powerful outline for you. I believe it's going to be an outline that you really want to save and refer to, honestly, for the rest of your life, because we all need this on a daily basis. But in Luke chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus says this in verses 24 through 26, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. And so, in other words, when that problem, that evil spirit has been driven away from you, okay, it leaves you. But then it says, when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. Not good news for us, okay? We want him to go and stay away. And so he goes on to say, so it returns and finds that its former home is all swept and in order. And then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter the person and live there. So that person is worse off than before. Now, that's a very discouraging verse. But the point of this verse was not to say that that's what's going to happen. Actually, it's a warning verse that Jesus is saying this is what can happen, and you need to put precautions in place. You need to be aware of this and understand what is happening here. And so, here's the thing. When you feel like the fight for freedom is over, in other words, you think, well, I've experienced freedom now. I'm now in the right place. Don't think that the freedom fight is over, because he's coming back. But that's not a problem if you're aware of it and if you know what to do when that happens. And that's my job, and that's what I want to take us through today, helping us understand really what to do when that happens. Because really, there is a cycle that I want us to understand today that happens constantly. A cycle that constantly happens. It happens to Christians. It happens to countries, it happens to governments, it happens to societies, it happens in marriage, it happens in business. History is replete with this cycle happening. And so we need to understand that this is a cycle that can happen. And in America, though, this is one thing that we all cry out for, and as individuals we cry out for, first of all, and that is that we all long for this thing called freedom. Freedom, that's your first blank there if you want to fill that in. Freedom. Freedom. We desire freedom. And I believe that God's put that fight in us for freedom. I believe he's what stirred the Revolutionary War. He's the one that calls people to move to say, we want to be free of this of this tyranny and free of this taxation. And we have these mottos, don't tread on me. And we declare our freedom because we all long for this thing called freedom. But when we obtain freedom, it leads to this thing called prosperity. When we experience freedom, we can then breathe. We begin, our life gets better. Everything changes. So whenever we, government, society, a person experiences this prosperity of the soul, and it's not necessarily monetary, but your life is better, your marriage is better, things are better on your job. And so, but the problem with prosperity is that it often breeds pride and complacency. And so that means you let down your guard. And you think, well, I'm doing great now. You know, it's like the government. Okay, we're doing great. We're a prosperous society, so we've got lots of money. So what do? We spend, 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 right? We spend, spend, spend. And in fact, I understand that only 60% of what is spent by our government is covered by our taxes. So that means that 40% is borrowed. Imagine you live that way. That you've spent 40% more than you earn every month. You know, we're in a mess. And so what happens, we have this great prosperity, but what it does, it leads then back to bondage, back to bondage. And so, you know, how can this happen? Well, it even happened even in the early church. And there was the law, and that was there, and they found out they couldn't fulfill the law, but then they would get freed through Jesus, but then they would go back into bondage again. But the law was, listen, the law of the Old Testament was there to show us that we can't fulfill the law. And that's why we need a Savior. That's good news. That's why Jesus has come and we need Him. But I want to talk to us about a little bit about what it means then to break this cycle and help us stay free. Paul wrote a book in the New Testament called the Book of Galatians, where he wrote to the Church of Galatians. And they were in this place where he needed to help them to understand how to stay free. And here's what he says in verse 1 of chapter 5 of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he says these words. He says, stand firm then. Underline that word. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again with the yoke of slavery. So we need to stop the cycle. Here's the thing. Freedom comes from two forms. There's a moment when God can touch your life. And that may happen in that place of fasting and prayer. And there's this moment where God just comes in by the power of His Spirit and deliverance happens. But there's also another form of freedom, and it's through discipleship. And it is a process. In fact, that's why we're launching small groups today, so that you can get in relationship and go through this process. And so listen, you're not just always going to be being free just from hearing a message on Sunday morning. Hurts my feelings, but I'm just saying. Well, actually, it doesn't hurt my feelings. But what really happens oftentimes is you need to get in conversation with somebody. You need to be hearing truth on a regular basis until finally you begin to understand, hey, I've been living a lie by deception that the enemy has thrown in my path, and that's not who I am. I'm who God says I am. And we begin to walk this thing out, and things begin to change, and truth begins to be imparted to you, and people are praying with you and discussing things and working it out and encouraging one another. So there's this process that we go through that leads us to this place of freedom. And so all the groups that we have today, as we're launching them, the goal, you're going to see a lot of different types of group. We have groups that, if you're in bondage financially, we got a financial group that's going to be launching, Financial Peace University, and we've got a prayer group, and we've got a men's morning group at 6 a.m. Me and Pastor Steve are going to lead that one. We're going to wipe the sleepers out of our eyes. We're going to get up, and we're going to, you know, have breakfast. But the goal of it is not just the curriculum. If you've heard me say before, the goal of it is to get in relationship with somebody so that you can be transparent and open up and be able to encourage one another. And I'm telling you, your life will change when that happens. And so freedom happens through that means. But I want to share with you a story that's found in Luke chapter 15 that really bears out this this process of staying free. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 11 with me. There in your message notes. And I'm gonna give you this scripture that's not in your notes, actually, first, just to preface it, and then I'll get into what you have there. But in verse 11, it says this: "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." Between them. Now, that word "them" is important. File that. We'll come back to that. It goes on to say, "Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living." So he was out partying, living it up, and living wrong. And after he had spent everything, so in other words, he got free, he had some prosperity, but then here comes the bondage. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So in this scripture is a very, very important outline. And he did something in this story that we all must do. He did something that we all must do. And that is, first of all, he admitted that he needed help. And so that's the first point. First of all, you've got to admit that you need help. We're going to look at that here in just a moment as we go through this scripture. And so oftentimes we say, well, now, I don't mind if admitting to God, but I want people to think I got it all going on. You know, I don't want everybody else to know. I kind of get that with you. You know, you don't want to walk up to somebody and say, "Hey, man," and just share all your business. But here's the problem, is that we want to confess to God, but we don't want to let anybody else help us. And I'm telling you, when we can understand there's a secret to freedom, that if we miss this, we're going to miss everything. But if you get a hold of this, it's going to free you and it's going to change your life. This is a problem oftentimes with men especially. You know, I don't want anybody knowing my business. It's very difficult for me to let down my pride. And, you know, I mean, that is difficult. You don't want to get up to somebody and say, "Hey, I messed up." But it takes help. We need help, and it takes courage to ask for help. So look at verse 15 there, if you would. "So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating." So here he was in a bad situation. He said, "I'm going to just go get a job," and he was sent out to feed pigs. And that's what will happen if we're not following God's process and how to be free, and we follow in this cycle. But he said, no one gave him anything. And look at this next thing that said here. He says, when he came to his senses. And that's what I pray today will happen, that we'll come to our senses and understand, okay, where am I? And he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death?" And this is what I'm going to say here, is that we all need to have a moment when you say, enough already. No longer am I going to pray macho man, but I want to come to my senses and realize that I need help. And I want to just say this: you will never be set free unless you admit there is a problem. And it's a huge step in your spiritual journey to step out and say, "Hey, enough's enough. I need you to help me with this. I need to talk to somebody about this." But I'm going to tell you, when you do that, you say, "Well, I don't get the cigarette." When you do that, it will free you. It will free you up. I mean, it'll blow your mind how it will free you up. It's a huge step. So I'm begging you, take that step. Seek out a small group. Get in relationship with someone. C.S. Lewis said this: "Freedom is born at the moment where you find out from another person," like you say, "What? You too? I thought it was just me." And you find out that somebody else is going through the same problem you do. And then you begin to be encouraged, and you begin to strengthen one another and help one another in that journey. And so the point of small groups for Crosspoint is that we create environments where people can have genuine, authentic relationships, and that's where change really occurs. And so we've got to admit that we need help. Then the next thing that we need to do, and that is to humbly repent to God. Look at verse 18. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. He realized that he wasn't going to be free. Listen to this. Just working this out with God, because look what he just said there. He said, I have sinned against heaven and against you. So all the times we say, well, okay, we've sinned. We're going to work it out with God. Me and God, we're good. We're good. We got it. We got a right relationship. We're okay. But I'm not going to work it out with somebody else. And here's the fact of the matter. God's system doesn't work that way. In fact, there's some places in Scripture where he says to a husband, you're on outs with your wife, forget it. I'm not hearing your prayer. I'm not listening to you. You go get right with her, and then we'll talk. There's another place where he says, leave your gift at the altar. Y'all know that one? Leave your gift at the altar. Go be reconciled, then come back, then we'll talk. Right? Come on, let's don't get quiet. Give me a good amen right there. Right? So oftentimes we think, well, I just work it out with God. Me and him, he knows my heart. He knows where. But God's system is that he wants us to be in relationship with one another. In fact, listen, God's system is this. God does something that people can't do, and that is that he forgives. We go to him for forgiveness. That's what 1 John 1 and 9 says. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, right? And so then look at James. You already got it there. James chapter 5 says this. So confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. So first of all, we're praying to God for forgiveness. We go to God for forgiveness, but we go to one another for healing. Now that may be a little strange for some of you, but I'm telling you, this is the way God set it up. That's what his word declares. We can see it right here. Right? Now we know he's the healer. He's got our healer, but he uses relationships. Are you following me? He uses relationships. How many have ever had somebody pour into your life and encourage you and strengthen you, and you experience deliverance and healing through that? Can I see a show of hands right now? Come on, right? Right? So he uses people. In fact, most of the time when I talk to people about how they come to Christ, it's always through relationship. So you got freed initially through relationship of somebody else speaking into your life. God set it up that way from the very beginning. He's about relationship. That's why when he looked at Adam, he said, it's not good that you be alone. I'll give you a helpmate, right? And so everything in throughout Scripture, we see this, that God wants us in relationship. God designed that you confess to him for forgiveness and confess to people for healing. And when you do that, a power comes into the process that will blow your mind. The key is coming from the place where we have these people in our life that brings encouragement, relationship, accountability, and there's a supernatural power in the process of that. There is a power in the process of humbly repenting. And some of us, we just reject it. Well, I don't like that word repenting. It sounds real religious. But repenting, we need to understand what that is. Repenting is not just saying, God, I'm so sorry. I'll never do that again. And we go out and we do. Okay? That's not what repentance is. In the Greek, the word repentance, it comes from this word metanoia. And that first word, meta, it's two words that are put together. The first word, meta, is where we get the word change. Are you familiar with metamorphosis? That's where we get the word metamorphosis. And so in the second part of that word, noia, means mind. And so we are going through this change, this process of changing our mind. And you and I know we don't change our mind in a second. Right? We don't do that in a second. Oftentimes, it is a process, and that's why only groups can give you this dynamic of true repentance as you listen, as you learn, as you work it out. Now, these last two points have to do with maintenance, because here's the fact of the matter, and that is the lying never stops. Some of you have went through the prayer and fasting, and you feel like you're on the mountaintop right now. Man, I mean, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall and shout hallelujah. I'm on top of the mountain. But I want to tell you, the enemy is coming for you. And I'm not trying to scare you. I just want you to be aware. In fact, the three areas that we talked about, Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, a couple weeks ago. We need to be guarding those areas. Because what happens is not just happenstance. The enemy tries to come and to pull down anything that God accomplishes in your life. And you say, well, really? Yes, really. Even Jesus Christ, when he fasted, right? Remember, at the beginning of his ministry, he was tempted in those three areas. And if Jesus is tempted in those three areas, guess what? We are going to be as well. So we need to be aware of that. So the lying never stops, but here's what we must do. Number three, and that is daily choose to reject Satan's lies. We need to daily choose to reject his lies. Look at this scripture. Again, it's not in your notes, but let me just share this part of this story with you, found in verse 25 of this chapter 15 of Luke. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he says to one of the servants and asked him, what's going on inside? Well, your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. And so look at what happened here. Go on to the next verse there that you have. He says, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. And I would question that. I would question that he never, ever disobeyed his orders. But in his mind, listen to this. And then he says this, Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, I wouldn't call him his brother, this son of yours has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. And he says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. Now, you need to know that the older brother had listened to some lies. First of all, he says, well, I've never done anything wrong. Well, yes, you have. You're right? Because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So, yes, you're not perfect. All right? None of us are. There's no stone throwing in Cross Point. Okay? We're all in this thing together, and we all have faults and failures. Right? And we're all in this thing together just trying to grow closer to God. Right? And so here he is. And then the second thing is, he says this, you never gave me a goat. I don't know why he wanted a goat. I mean, he just wanted a goat. I mean, you didn't give me a goat, all right? Remember the first part of the story. It said that the father divided the estate between both sons. When the younger son wanted his portion, the father said he divided it between both of them, right? So it wasn't just the younger son. And in Jewish custom, they always gave the oldest son double what everybody else got. So get this. The oldest son got two-thirds while the younger son got one-third. And he said, you never gave me a goat? Are you seeing the deception here? He believed in a lie. The father had given him everything. In fact, he got two-thirds of the kingdom. He said, are you kidding me? You're saying I didn't give you anything? I haven't given you a goat. I've given you two-thirds of the company. Right? I gave you the whole flock of them. What are you talking about? I never gave you a goat. But he had believed a lie. I want us to see the power of a lie in your life. The enemy is never going to stop. And so we must daily take this walk of no, you don't, devil. No, you don't. I heard the story of a man when he was a young boy in eighth grade, that he was in class, math class, and he was very brilliant. He was really a genius. And his teacher asked him to come to the board and work out this problem that she'd wrote on the board. Well, on the way from his desk to the board, he figured it out in his mind, and he knew the answer. He went there and wrote the answer. And she said, you're wrong. He said, I'm not wrong. That's the answer. No, you're wrong because you didn't show your work. Don't you hate that? You show your work. He said, but it is right. It's the right answer. And he kind of, spoke back to the teacher. She didn't like it. And she said to him, you will never accomplish anything. And in the eighth grade, he bought into that. He believed the lie. And so he accepted and he checked out. He came back to class, but he checked out. 4 years later, he got a girl pregnant. Wasn't living the way he should be living. He just kind of checked out, thought he was a nobody. Compromised in areas of his life. Got a girl pregnant at the age of 17. He had to get married. It was the right thing to do. And so they got married. And then, so his first daughter was conceived out of wedlock. And then later on, he has three kids, and he's trying to make ends meet. He played country music in a bar every night, just trying to make ends meet. He worked in a chemical refinery in Baton Rouge on the Mississippi River. And he thought, well, I need to go get a better job. And so he goes into this place, and he fills out the paperwork, and he takes the exam to be hired on. And so they give him a call the next day, and they say, we'd like you to come in. We'd like to talk to you about your test scores. And he says, well, I know I didn't do good. Why don't you just tell me now I didn't do good? I don't want to have to come all the way back in here. You tell me I didn't do good. And they said, no, you really need to come in. So he came in, and they told him, they said, we have never, ever had anyone score as high as you have scored at your age. And then he said this, not knowing what that teacher had said in the eighth grade, said, you know, if you really apply yourself, you could really amount to something someday. And at that moment, he believed that. He grabbed hold of that. And the curse of that lie was broken off of him. The next year, he gave his heart to Jesus. And he ended up going to plant a church in North Louisiana. He then moved as a missionary to Germany and planted churches all over Europe. He moved back to the United States and planted more churches. He came back to Baton Rouge and started training 2,000 other churches in how to do small groups. And then he launched a church planting organization called ARC, Association of Related Churches, that today is planting over 100 churches a year in America. Oh, yeah, he amounted to something. Why? Because he stopped listening to the curse of the devil on his mind and believed the truth about his life, and you and I can do the same thing. Amen? Come on. Come on. Amen? Amen. By the way, the name of this gentleman is Billy Hornsby. He's the father-in-law. He went on to be with the Lord, but he was the father-in-law of Chris Hodges, who pastors Church of the Highlands that we are linked to through an organization called Grow. And that girl that was his little baby that was born, or conceived, I should say, out of wedlock, is now the wife of Chris Hodges. And so you see, you never know what God's going to do. I'm going to tell you what's in this room today. The devil has spoken lies over you and maybe even over this church. And I'm here to break the lies of the enemy and declare what God speaks over you has power over the lies of the enemy. Amen. And so so here's what was in this story. So he said, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. I didn't just give you two-thirds. He says everything I have is yours. And you've got to choose daily to reject Satan's lies. And then, number four, daily choose to receive God's truth. What God's truth says about it. A lot of us don't even know what the truth is. And in this story, it outlines it. And it's about to, and here's what I'm about to give you. I'm about to empower you with some powerful truth, okay? Because a lot of us, I'm convinced a lot of us have bought into some lies about who we are and who the enemy says we are. And I'm going to empower us today with some truth and three things I want to give you that's found in this story. Look at Luke chapter 15 again, verse 22 through 24. Then the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. I want us to look at these three things. The first thing he gave him was a robe of righteousness. Now that may sound a little like a little fancy church word, and I want to make it come to life for you. Isaiah said that he clothes us in his righteousness. Righteousness. And really what righteousness is, now get this, now you need to get this, you need to write this down, you need to remember this, you need to look at this daily. Righteousness is your view of yourself. Here's a truth that I want to give you. You don't see things as you are, you see things as you see yourself. Everything you see in life goes through the filter of the view you have of yourself. You don't see things as they are. You see things as you are. And that means it's vitally important that you see yourself, not the way you see yourself, but how God sees you. And when you ever believe that this is what I really am, and you say, well, that's just who I am. That's just who I am. No. You take on the view God has of you. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. When he sees you, he sees no sin. When you belong to him and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he no longer sees your sin. He sees the righteousness of his Son. You are clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's taken care of that sin on the cross, past, present, and future. And that belief is what empowers you to live in a new way. So we say, how do I really change? You've got to see yourself as Jesus sees you. You've got to see yourself with the robe of his righteousness. You're complete in him. Powerful. Second thing he gave him was a ring of authority. Ring of authority. I'm going to try to keep my composure through this, because I knew this was some meaty stuff here. Meaty stuff. All right? Not just vegetables and fruit today. We're going to have some meaty stuff. Ring of authority. Ring of authority. You know, in old Roman movies, like a Ben-Hur movie, they'll have this family ring with this signet on it. It's a shield on there. It's their family shield. It's like a credit card. It's written in clay. You know, you've seen that where they just take that and they just press it into that clay. Boom, there it is. Sealed. The family seal. I want us to understand this. You have his ring on. You have access to the most powerful credit card. You have access to the most powerful name in the universe. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. You have access to his throne, and you need to use that ring. I think oftentimes we're just not using that ring. You know, and I love praying for people. And people come and say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? Listen, let me word it this way. I'll agree with you. Because it's not just the pastor that's got the ring on. You've got the ring on. Amen. You've got the ring on. You've got the ring on. And I'll agree with you. And together, we'll just put God's ring on it and his name on it and declare in Jesus' name. Amen. There is authority in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. And you got to know this. You got to know this. That when you use the name of Jesus and you say to Satan, you got to flee. You got to go. You got to go. He's got to go. And here's what will happen. Because he continues to lie to you. You'll say, you got to go. You got to go. And he'll say, oh, I'm not going anywhere. He'll say, I'm not. You say, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. He says, I'm not going. You're still going to have that problem. I'm not going anywhere. I'm still here. I'm not going. But he's gone. He's gone in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me? He's going to lie to you, but you've got to know he's not there in the name of Jesus Christ. He has no power over you. You have power in the name of Jesus. If you're new here today, we'll calm down next week, but I just got to deliver something here today. All right? Listen, in the name of Jesus, we have authority. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when God looks at you, get this, blows my mind. He sees perfection. because he's taken care of everything that you've ever done or will do. He's paid for it by the blood of his own son, Jesus Christ. You have his ring. Oh, you have his ring. And then he did something for him that needs to happen for all of us here today. He comes in barefoot, cracked heels, blood, nasty pig feces in between his toes. Come on. Hurt, the grossness in his life. Oftentimes you see in Scripture, first thing they do when they get somewhere, they'd wash the feet. But the Father took it to another level, and he put sandals on his feet. And the sandals on his feet, they brought comfort to him. In Ephesians chapter 6, when it lists the armor of God, it speaks of that our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Peace. And he put on him shoes of peace. And I want to tell you, God wants us to come to him. And he wants us to put on his robe of righteousness, ring of his authority, and he will put some shoes of peace on you. He wants your life to be filled with peace. With peace. And in the name of Jesus, I declare God's peace for you. And I do have a ring on this morning. As your pastor, I have authority. And I have a ring of his authority. It's not in me. It has nothing in me. It's all in him. And I want to pray. I'm going to do something a little different today. I want to pray a freedom prayer over this church. I'm going to pray a freedom prayer. I've given you part of it there in your message notes, but I'm going to pray a little more than that, okay? And we're going to come together. We're going to agree together that the lies of the enemy are going to be broken off of you, and God's going to set you free in Jesus' name. And God's going to take you through a process of discovering more and more freedom in him and becoming more and more like Christ. And you're going to experience, guess what? At the end of all, you're going to have peace like you've never known before. So if you just bow your heads with me, let me just pray this prayer of freedom over you today. Heavenly Father, I bow today in praise and worship before you. And together with this congregation, we completely and reservedly surrender ourselves to you in every area of our life. Today we take our stand against all the workings of Satan in our life. And Lord, I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob this church of the will of God. So I stand with them right now against every spirit of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, hate, malice, envy, jealousy, any spirit of insecurity or inferiority, fear or rejection, self-pity, self-hate, anger, rage, murder, violence. I break the power of sexual immorality, impurity, adultery, fornication, lust, pornography. I break the spirits of pride, lying spirits, rebellion, deception, manipulation, control, criticism, and judgmentalism. Every spirit of arrogance and prejudice, racism, greed, materialism, and selfish covetousness. Every spirit of selfish ambition. I break the power of depression today. Every anxiety, worry, suicide, you have to go in Jesus' name. Self-hate, self-destruction, addiction, dependency, alcoholism, drunkenness, drugs, and obesity, rebellion to authority, religious pride, heresy, false doctrine, stealing, slothfulness, laziness, and unbelief, guilt, shame, embarrassment, humiliation. Every negative word that's been spoken against you, I break it. Every curse or spell, witchcraft, the occult, blasphemy, sickness, disease, infirmity, chronic health issues, I break your power in the name of Jesus. Today we choose to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, to believe what God says about us. We pull down every thought, every lie that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, and we loose on ourselves a sound mind, the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free in Jesus' name. Come on, everybody. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Come on, thank you right now that you're free in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And now we got to praise him and we got to believe it. We got to believe it in Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Today you may be a person in here that just really, really needs God's peace. It may be that you're far from him. You were close to him, but now you're far from him. And you need to come back to him today. Or you just need to make sure that you and him have that relationship that you need to have. I want to pray with you right now, right where you're seated. Would you just pray this prayer? Just say, Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. God, put your robe on me. The robe of your righteousness. God, place your ring of authority on my finger. God, I pray that your peace, God, would just come upon me, Lord, and that I would just walk in peace. Today I give you my life. Come on, say it. Just say, I give you my life. I surrender everything to you. Lord, with all of my heart, I'm going to follow you. And I'm going to walk in the path of peace, power, and your presence as you lead me.